WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Back now to our interview with singer and guitarist John Langford of the Mekons.
I want to play one of the early Mekons recordings and get a sense of what the band was like early in its career. Why don't you choose one of the early records and introduce it for us?
This is off the album we did for Virgin Records called The Quality of Mercy Is Not Strunnen, and this song's called What Are We Gonna Do Tonight?
What are we gonna do tonight?
Actually, really good discordant playing in that, too. I like that.
Oh, yeah. We perfected that very early on.
Now, you've said that the first slogan of the Mekons was, no personalities emerge. Why did you want to not make it the kind of band that had a star fronting it?
We had a huge manifesto.
What else was in it?
Oh, there was loads of things. Like, we will never make a record. We will never have our photograph taken. We will only be the support band. We'll be the punk band that plays slow songs, not fast songs. Mostly all those things crumbled before the first gig, because the guy refused to book us. Said like, we said, we're going to be like a punk band, but we're going to play slow songs. And he's like, well, you can't play then, because you got to play fast. And we're like, oh, no. So then we had to go back and write some more songs, because we didn't have enough. If we played them fast, they weren't long enough. So we only had about 15 minutes of music for the first gig. But somebody came along at the first gig. There's a band called the Rosillos from Edinburgh, and their manager was a guy called Bob Last, and he was setting up a little record label, and he just said, do you want to make a record? And we were like, no, we're not going to make a record. Oh, it'd be quite good to make a record, wouldn't it? Yes, we'd like to make a record. And then the NME wouldn't publish a feature of us unless we had a photograph of the band. So we stood in some trees miles away, and some guy took some photographs of us standing in these trees so he couldn't see who anyone was. And then they rejected that. So they said, we won't write about you unless you have a photograph. So we built some dummies out of coat hangers and paint tins and sent them that, and they wouldn't have that. So in the end, they sent some photographer up for London. We all stood dutifully by and had our photographs taken. So there were many, many things. We always knew with the Mekons what we didn't want to be. And it was kind of what we were was what was left. So,
well, let me get back to the manifesto. Were you one of the writers of the manifesto? Did you want a manifesto?
Yeah, I think we thought that was really, it was year zero, and this is it. We were cutting up the punk, the decadence of rock and roll music at the root. We were punk rockers, and that was it. It's very important to us that everything was justified.
Did you feel like a sellout when you violated all the principles of the manifesto right away?
No, not really, because half of it was just the love of wanting to do it.
Uh-huh.
It was so quite exciting.
What did you hate in pop music at the time?
All that progressive rock stuff, and I just couldn't stand it. Most of my friends really liked The Who, and if The Who did a kind of four-album rock opera, everyone would run out and buy it, and I just thought that was the most depressing thing imaginable. So I really didn't like it. I thought mostly they were very pompous, and I thought most pop stars were hilarious. I mean, like Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, I mean, still cracks me up now if I hear that. I just think it's like ludicrous.
Why?
Megalomania.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Just somebody think that their opinions are that important. It's strange.
So the band was in a way about not following all the big commercial principles of rock and roll.
Yeah, totally.
And you succeeded in not becoming a big commercially successful band.
We succeeded, Terry. We did succeed. That's right. Thank you for saying that. A secret of our success is our lack of success.
I think you had something like 11 different record companies.
Yeah, yeah, we've always had kind of fairly... Some of those record companies were actually ourselves, so...
Oh, even you couldn't take it.
We would fire ourselves quite regularly.
Who would jump out first and with most of your record? Did they want out or did you want out?
Usually we wanted out. Usually it was just like situations that weren't going anywhere. I mean, with major labels, we were fired by Virgin, which was kind of predictable. Because I don't know why they even signed us in the first place. It's just that kind of madness, the sort of feeding frenzy that goes on when something new comes out. All these A&R men who think they know the secret of everything that's commercial run around with their checkbooks wide open trying to sign everything. So they signed the Mekons, and it was like obviously not a commercial band in any way. More so when we signed to A&M in 1989, we signed kind of more with our eyes open, and we signed because we thought there was some theory by which a band like ourselves could exist on a major label and could make records quite cheaply and sell a modest amount of records but still make the record company money. But after the guy who'd set up that deal left, a lot of accountants come along and they, what are these people doing on the label? And yeah, it's a very good question. We don't belong on a major label. And it's never been a very happy experience. I always felt like an employee when I've been on a major label. And But then again, some independent labels have been excruciatingly bad to us as well, so...
During the punk days, I think a fair number of people would show up at concerts in some venues and think that it was really cool to throw things at the band or to, act very aggressively.
To spit at the band? Yeah.
So what were some of the things that happened at some of your concerts that you didn't appreciate?
And people getting stabbed and members of the band being beaten senseless.
When did that happen?
At a Rock Against Racism gig in Newcastle.
Oh, perfect, huh?
In the dressing room. There's a band called the Angelic Upstarts were meant to be playing, and apparently they didn't turn up, so their fans decided to beat the living crap out of the rest of us. So it was kind of a scary time. That's why the Mekons made a conscious decision not to play live after about 1980. We just didn't want to play. We didn't play till maybe 83, something like that.
Were you almost afraid of your own fans?
I just thought it turned into a very hideous, violent scene. Punk was meant to be this wide-open thing where everything was acceptable, and it became like if you didn't have the leather jacket, the Mohican, you didn't play fast and pretend to be really stupid, which is what most punk bands seem to want to do. Or be really right-wing, because there's a lot of really right-wing punk bands at that time. And we played to crowds with people Sikh hiling. Who would then be, we would shoot our mouths off at them and then they'd be waiting for us outside after the gig. That happened a couple of times. Pretty scary.
Did you ask yourself, how did this happen? How did it happen that the music hardened into this caricature and that the fans somehow interpreted the music as being so compatible with fascism?
I think the industry got the lid on it, It became a commercial prospect for the music industry. When it was interesting, it was because no one knew where it was going and what was happening. And it turned into a very unpleasant cul-de-sac quite quickly. And we decided we didn't want anything to do with it, so we didn't play live till about 83. And we put out records, but very bedroom-orientated records. We would stay at home and sing into tape recorders.
John Langford of the Mekons. He spoke with Terry in 1998. The Mekons have a new album, Out of Our Heads, and are on their 25th anniversary tour in the U.S. Also, Langford's band, the Waco Brothers, has a new CD, New Deal, due out next month. This is Fresh Air.